And good afternoon. This is Intuitive Soul Radio with your host, Lori Houston. And today we have Travelers, Seekers, and Wandering Ways with Tim White. Welcome, Tim.
Thank you, Lori. Nice to be here today. Yes, it is a mouthful, that show name, isn't it?
Well, you know, it's good. It's all good. Okay, let's see if we got these volumes going. Okay, perfect. So why don't you welcome our guest?
We have today Marissa Scheisser, certified nutritional practitioner. Did I get that right, Marissa?
Hi, Tim. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Great.
That's good. So I got that right? Certified nutritional practitioner?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. And you're also a Reiki master and Australian flower essence practitioner and teacher.
Yeah.
Got it all? Yay. Nice to talk to you again. It's been a while. It's
been It has been. Good to hear you.
Yeah, it's. I think it's been over 3 years now. Is that
Sorry.
Oh, we lost
you. Cutting out a little bit
I'm cutting out a little bit. Okay. It's been about 3 years since we met. Is that right?
Yeah, it's been. It's been a few years. Yeah.
I remember it well. It was really nice. It was Mother's Day, and we were in. I was in Squamish, BC, and visiting my brother and doing a yoga nidra presentation. And a group of us got together from Squamish and did the presentation together. And I think you were doing, it was the raw chocolate, Marissa?
I was, yeah. I was doing a little raw chocolate demonstration.
Okay. And I think that was the first time I had heard of acacia berry, because I think you were, sweetening it with acacia berry, is that right?
I think it was the it was the goji berry.
Oh, it was a goji berry.
It was actually.
Ah, that's it exactly. So there we go. So now let's get going. I just wanted to say hello and thanks for joining us today, and to give everybody an idea of what's going on, and to everybody who's listening in the U.S. today, Happy Turkey Day! Happy Turkey Day! So why don't we start right away with your background in nutrition, Marissa? When did you start that?
Well, that was about 6 years ago, 6.5 years ago, that I started, I guess, my official education on nutrition. Before that, like, I kind of grew up in a little bit of a hippie household, I guess. My mom owned a health food store, and we grew a lot of our own food, had a big garden and whatnot. So that was kind of my, I guess, my first introduction to it. And then my more official was when I went to school to learn about holistic nutrition and just, I guess, learn a little bit more details about it.
Right. Well, so it's not... This is part of your whole life experience. This is something that's really part of your life.
Yeah, it's been around for my entire life, I guess. it was kind of there in the background, just more of a like lifestyle.
A lifestyle. So it wasn't really a thought to go into it because it was always part of who you were.
Yeah.
Okay. So how did that experience in growing up in that kind of household help you with your studies?
I guess it just gave me, I already had a bit of a foundation and understanding, so that was helpful, I guess, kind of going into it with knowing something already.
Right,
But yeah, it did amaze me at just how much more there was to learn.
There's always
and
more
to
learn.
Still does. It's always ongoing learning.
Oh, exactly. Yes. Yeah. Well, there's always new stuff that's coming out. Now, as a certified nutritional practitioner, I'm going to go deep and heavy here right away. So I want to ask you a little bit about what you think about the H1N1 vaccine and what's going on there. I'm going to get a little bit political.
Well, my own personal thoughts on vaccinations in general is that they're not, and I don't feel that they're the best way to protect oneself against, whether it's H1N1 or whether it's other flu viruses or diseases.
Right.
It just, to me, is not, it's just not the most natural way to protect oneself and not necessarily the most effective way.
Right.
So like, I've never found that there's a lot of, you know, even when people get the vaccinations, they still end up getting sick. And some of them end up getting sick immediately, having different reactions immediately.
Well, I was just reading, actually, and the reason I'm asking this, because I just read this in Metro, and there have been 24 severe adverse reactions to the vaccination so far, and there's been one death in Quebec. And they're saying that it's very much in line with other vaccines. That's quite a, for something new that hasn't been tested before, you know, I find that quite interesting, we'll say.
Yeah, which is a little bit scary when it's being tested.
So how would you approach this? How would you approach this in the coming, well, we're in the flu season right now. So how would you approach that professionally with people?
Just as far as, like, boosting immune system.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of it, just from, like, strictly, like, nutritional perspective, just basically, like, changing the diet so that it's a healthier diet, a more nutrient-dense diet. Mm-hmm. One of the big things to take out, which, of course, is one of the big addictions in the world, is sugar, because sugar really lowers the immune system.
Right.
So that's something just to avoid as much as possible, especially when feeling kind of sick, to just completely eliminate it.
Okay.
And then, you know, bringing in, like, as much local, nutrient-dense, seasonal food just to give you all those vitamins and minerals. The fresher it is, the more vitamins it's going to hold in it.
Right, exactly,
So right now, you know, we're looking at a lot of root veggies, which are good because they have beta carotene, and that helps to boost the immune system.
Okay.
Vitamin C sources, which I actually just had a conversation about this a couple nights ago with a class I was teaching about. Just orange juice is like the immediate thing that people sort of go to for vitamin C and go to when they're sick.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of the, you know, thought of, like, that's what you drink. But it's actually really, it's not super high in vitamin C.
Right.
Especially when you look at orange juice, like, most of it that we're getting is processed. And processing really destroys a lot of the vitamin C. Like a red pepper is far, far higher in vitamin C than an orange.
Mm-hmm.
And as well, oranges are mucus forming in the body.
Mm-hmm.
And bacteria loves mucus. It really thrives on that.
Okay.
So it's actually not the best food to be consuming when we're sick or trying to avoid being sick.
So would that be the same for dairy products as well? Are they
dairy as well, because they're mucus forming.
Forming, yeah.
That being said, like, as sort of a way to, like, if you're not sick, as a way to kind of boost your immune system is through probiotics.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get, like, the quality of yogurt really, really varies out there. So the ones that I recommend and the only yogurt that I eat is like a non-homogenized yogurt, and it's a whole milk yogurt.
Mm-hmm.
So all the only ingredients in it are non-homogenized milk and really good quality probiotics.
Right. Okay.
So that, like, at least, like, the probiotics are helping to, that's a big part of your immune system.
Right. Yes. Yeah. The digestive system.
You know,
system.
So that's
something
too that can be helpful. And then there's probiotic supplements as well.
Mm-hmm.
Well, someone really needs a boost.
I'm a real advocate of probiotics after going through a period with IBS. And that was incredible. So probiotics are part of my everyday routine as a supplement, because I took out dairy for a long time and I was afraid of yogurt, basically.
Well, given. But, I mean, even like a good quality yogurt might not be the best thing for everybody, right?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
That's such a huge thing, is just realizing what your body likes and what it doesn't like.
So
what it thrives on.
Yeah, so we're looking at creating an awareness of our individual bodies, because everybody is individually different, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what approach do you take with clients in that way?
I really, my approach has definitely changed over the years.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it started off sort of more traditionally as what I learned in school. It's becoming more of, I see myself as a teacher and an educator for people.
Right.
It's just, I think the most important thing to do is empower people with knowledge so that they can make their own decisions. Because we are all different, and really the person that knows what's best for them is them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So my place in that is providing people with the tools mm-hmm. and the knowledge, and also getting them to learn how to understand their own body and how to read their own body and listen to what it's saying.
Okay.
Because then they always know, you know, what the best choice is for them.
Okay. Now,
but I find that often we're told that we have to find out from somebody else what's wrong with us.
Right.
Or we have to, you know, somebody else has to diagnose us or tell us what to do. So it really takes away the power of, you know, understanding and listening to your body. So that's kind of the approach that I come from now.
Okay. So you're helping people to listen to their bodies, to listen to those messages so that they understand. Mm-hmm. So what kind of process do you go through with your clients on that? How do you help them in that way?
Right. So I, I do an intake with them and have a conversation with them about just what, you know, what's going on mm-hmm. and what their focus is, what their goals are.
Right.
What they're, you know, what they're looking for during the session. And then I do, like, I give them suggestions of what, you know, what foods are going to be most beneficial for them.
Mm-hmm.
I find that the easiest approach to that, because food is a difficult thing mm-hmm. for a lot of people to change. We all know that. I know that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there's things that you just don't want to give up.
Let's
see what foods we can add instead of what we're going to take away.
Okay.
Because if you start adding in foods that are healthier and foods that are going to make you feel better and foods that are going to adjust your taste buds mm-hmm. as well, then, you know, eventually the other ones, there's not going to be room for them.
Well, yeah, they gradually fall away. They do,
mm-hmm. yeah. It's kind of it's a pretty interesting process, really.
Well, yes, so, yeah.
And people like that, where it's more, you know, okay, this is what we're going to work on adding in. We're not going to talk about the
mm-hmm.
the vices right now. We'll leave those alone for a little while.
But that's what happens. When we look at things, if we put something new in, then it allows room and space for things to fall away, to
exactly.
let go of other things.
So exactly.
So that's a really lovely, very kind of gentle way for people to come into a healthier aspect, a healthier mm-hmm. me, as we might say. A healthier me is the name of Marissa's website, by the way. So in that process, now you're helping them to understand what their body is saying.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you approach that, and what do you use to help them along that path?
Yeah, well, it always varies depending on the client
mm-hmm.
because, you know, everybody's personality is different, and some people, the approach that works really well for them is getting them to have a journal, write down briefly what they're eating mm-hmm. and how they feel after they eat.
Okay.
Because we don't often pay attention to that, right? It's mm-hmm. just like, and so many people are busy, so it's, you know, eating on the run, you know, just eating quickly and then not really paying attention mm-hmm. or not, and also not making that connection of, okay, mm-hmm. I feel really tired every time I eat,
mm-hmm.
you know, a big sandwich for lunch. What, you know, like most people don't make that connection of, oh, okay, sandwich, I'm not digesting it properly. Okay, what can I change about that?
Right.
You know?
Yes.
So it's kind of making that connection and then going, okay, I feel really full of energy and great when I have like a salad with some salmon or something for lunch.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, and it's, it seems really simple, and it is really simple. It's just that we don't often pay attention to ourselves in that way,
right,
and give ourselves that time, right? It's more like, oh no, I got to go and do this, and I got to go and do that. And don't have time, you know, for ourselves.
I don't have time to eat. that's my habit, and something that I've worked on through that time, and peanut butter. When if I have peanut butter at night, the next morning, I'm guaranteed that I am stuffed up.
Yeah. And that thing, peanut butter is a pretty congesting food for people. But yeah, if you have sensitivities too. So yeah, it's that, it's just that awareness. So when I do, like when I look through people's what they're eating, you know, I can pick out the things that are most likely problem areas, right? Then I can give them a little, like, it make it a little bit easier, so they're not, I'm not just throwing them out there and saying, okay, you have to figure out what makes you feel bad and what makes you feel good. I'm trying to make it easier for them in a quicker process.
Right, okay.
So I can, you know, I'll look through what they're eating and discuss with them different foods and give them a better understanding of why, you know, that food might not be reacting well, so maybe pay attention to that.
Right.
Or, you know, some of them, people who are really gung-ho and really want to get on it, they'll just be like, okay, well, I'm going to stop eating that. And then they stop eating it, and they realize they feel better. So then they make that connection.
Right.
So it just, yeah, it just depends on the individual.
Okay.
But it's, yeah, it's just figuring out a process that works for them to connect them more to that. And then as well, using the Reiki and the flower essences.
Okay.
Because so, that helps people get into that place.
Right. So, okay, so now you talk about Reiki and the flower essences. So we'll take those one at a time. And I know that this is a new step for you. This is the Reiki master training. That's something new for you, right?
Yeah, I started doing Reiki about, I guess, about 2.5 years ago. Somewhere around there is when I kind of learned about it and did my Reiki level one.
Right.
I had forgotten about this for a while, but I had an experience when I was in school for nutrition. And I actually received Reiki from somebody, but I'd kind of forgotten about it. That's when I first learned about flower essences, too.
Okay.
So that was, I guess, my very first experience with Reiki back then.
So how did you feel? Now, if it's something that you're just remembering and it kind of comes back to you, how did that feel? Do you remember what that feeling was?
You mean it coming back to me?
Yeah, from your experience from, when you first
from
felt
first
it.
Experience?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, like, when I first learned Reiki, I think I still hadn't remembered about having Reiki before.
Oh, okay.
I think I was like, oh no, I've never had Reiki before. And for me, doing the Reiki one was more about my teacher and really just enjoying learning from her and trusting her. Because when I did Reiki one, I didn't, at first I didn't like really trust in it.
Right. Okay.
Or totally feel the energy.
But
I just trusted in her and that it was working and had a couple of experiences of it working really well.
Right.
And then, yeah, at some point in there, I was like, oh, yeah, I did do this before. And I remembered, like, when I had it done, it was sort of, I was in a house fire when I was going to school, and it was a pretty traumatic experience. And so that's why this classmate of mine was like, oh, well, I'll give you, you know, I can do Reiki on you. And I'm like, okay, sure. And then I did remember it being just, like, super relaxing.
Right.
And sort of like, you know, okay, this is kind of a strange thing. I'm not sure really what's going on here, but I could totally feel the energy coming into me.
Right.
So, yeah, it was that I didn't really understand it at that point.
Right.
He didn't explain too much about what it was.
No, yeah.
Well, so just... I just kind of, yeah. But, and then I just, after a while, I did my Reiki 2, and then I started to just sort of feel it and understand it and trust it more myself.
Right. So now how does that work into your practice with nutrition?
It depends. I have, right now, my practice is going more towards what I'm calling wholeness sessions, which is during the session with the person I will do, I'll do Reiki, I'll do a little bit of an intake at the beginning and just a discussion, and then I'll do the Reiki session, and then I'll make a flower essence for them.
Oh, okay.
Just kind of depending on what come up in, during the Reiki session.
Right, okay.
And then I add in some nutritional tip if they want it.
Okay.
So it's more, yeah, it's a little bit more of a whole picture.
Right.
And I do still see, like, some clients strictly as nutrition clients.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of people that aren't interested in the Reiki side of things. They're not interested in the more energetic side of things for whatever reason. They don't believe in it, or it's just not, they want the more physical, strictly nutritional perspective.
Well, it's more tangible. They have something that they can grasp and
exactly.
It's there. Yeah. Yeah.
And some of those people at some point do go into the flower essences a little bit, and some of them don't. And it's just whatever, you know, whatever they're drawn to and whatever works for them.
Okay. So,
I sort of, have two different sessions that I will do depending on what the person's looking for.
Well, I find that really interesting as a Reiki practitioner myself and master, and integrating those aspects that have been part of your journey through all of this. The nutrition is part of your life. It's your environmental experience from day one, basically, and then moving that forward, and all of a sudden you use Reiki, and you're attaching to the more subtle levels of the body, so you and they connect to those subtle levels as well in that relaxed state, because that's the awareness. So I find that quite wonderful to bring all of those things together.
So, yeah, it's a really nice combination. And I think, like, for me, the reason that I started doing that was because, like, I started doing the nutrition course because of part of, like, my own health problems that I was having.
Okay.
And my diet was horrible, but there were just some things in there that weren't working for my body. And when I changed that, like, I did get better, but I didn't get 100% better. You know, I didn't get to, like, being healthier than I was before I had the health issues, which was kind of what my goal was. And that's when I sort of, like, when I was in nutrition school, I met a homeopathic practitioner who was just, like, amazing and introduced me to that, which had some big changes. And that's when I started to realize, oh, there's this whole emotional connection to our health.
Right.
You know, like, I wasn't really tuned into that before then. I was just like, okay, I'm sick and I need to physically make myself better.
So what did you do to help solve that? You said you addressed some of those things nutritionally.
Yeah. And then, well, it took a while. Like, it, even, like, I'd started doing the homeopathy. So I started realizing that connection between, okay, what's going on emotionally and the stresses in our lives and how that affects our body. And that was part of my nutrition program as well.
Okay.
But it took me a while to really fully get that.
Okay.
And understand that.
Because you're working on a different level. You know,
yeah,
as
totally.
Part of your whole upbringing, nutrition was part, or healthy eating, pretty much, is part of your that experience. So when you move forward, you're still within that mode. So the flower essences and the Reiki kind of opened you up to this whole other aspect of self.
Yeah, it did. It just made me understand, like, okay, when we're, you know, when we're emotionally stressed, or when there's something going on emotionally, that finally will manifest in the physical body.
Right. Yes.
Really, the emotional part is the underlying cause. The underlying cause isn't because, you know, I was eating too much wheat and soy because I was working at a cafe and, you know, eating, like, the
Yeah. Well, and I'm one of the people who has a sensitivity to soy.
Right.
So I remember trying to become vegetarian and actually putting more stress on the physical body than I even realized. And then all of a sudden that came to head with ulcerative colitis. So right. That was like, okay. Yeah.
So yeah, it's just that going, okay, there's this other side going on that I have to address.
Right. So now, we've been writing back and forth for the past little while, and you said that you had a big shift in the past little while.
The problems that I had in the past were with my joints.
Right. Okay.
And I had a ridiculous amount of swelling in my joints.
Okay.
And nobody could tell me what was wrong with me. I went through the doctors, the medical doctors, specialists. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Arthritis specialist.
Right. Yeah.
Arthritis didn't have anything. Nothing was wrong with me, but they're very obviously, well, something's wrong with you because, we can't see your ankle bones. Your knees are totally swollen.
Mm-hmm.
And there's lumps on your wrist, but technically speaking, there's nothing wrong.
Nothing wrong with you.
So, I did see other healthcare practitioners as well, did some naturopathic. Mm-hmm. Stuff and different things, just massage therapy and traditional Chinese medicine.
Okay.
But nothing, it didn't get rid of the problem. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the things stressed me out even more so.
Right, okay.
A lot of the, regimes that I was put on really stressed me out and I think made things worse. And part of that, I was made me realize how that stress was connected to what was going on physically.
Mm-hmm.
So I have made a lot of changes and a lot of, working on the emotional side of things in the last, I guess it's been 8 years since that first started happening to me.
Right. Okay.
And within the first 2 years, it was pretty it was a lot better. But yeah, it only really 100% went away in the last, since the summer.
Since the summer, yeah.
And that was, just realizing that there were things in my life that I needed to change that I hadn't changed yet, and making some big changes and going, wow, okay, I can't believe how ridiculously happy I am. Really cool.
Oh my goodness, happiness is attainable. Happiness is attainable. So now you finished. So do you think that Reiki, in connecting to that energy and already having that basis in the physical body itself, how do you feel that kind of integrated to assist you in that process after the swelling of joints and not being able to be diagnosed? How?
I guess the Reiki just helped me to connect to my intuition.
Mm-hmm.
In a big way, and
right.
to understand, how energy affects me,
mm-hmm.
to understand, how I need to keep myself grounded.
Right. Which is interesting, because, when we talk about Reiki, it's an energy, so it's a high vibration.
Mm.
But in that process, it affects the physical body itself, because once we get to that state, it affects the mind, body, and spirit. So again, when you're talking about a holistic treatment using, Reiki and the Australian flower essences and your depth of knowledge for nutrition, it's bringing all of those things together. Right? Is that?
Yeah. I think the combination of all of those things just, made it complete.
Mm-hmm.
The Reiki, my experiences with that, giving and receiving and just getting into that state of that Reiki, the Reiki coma, going into that place of total relaxation and realizing that that's the place that we need to be in order to heal ourselves.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Because oftentimes we don't rest properly. We wake up as fatigued as when we went to sleep. So we're not getting into those deeper states where there is, you know, the body relaxes to get into that state where it can regenerate, rejuvenate as its, you know, its natural healing and rejuvenative powers that our body has.
So, yeah, exactly. We don't give ourselves that opportunity too often.
Mm-hmm. So now
we take away the only sort of natural opportunity that we should have, which is sleep, right?
Sleep, yeah.
So,
and then the foods we eat can affect our sleep as well.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So now if the foods we eat can affect our sleep, we'll move a little bit forward again now into mm-hmm. the Australian flower essences. And I'm going to try, you told a story about the flower essences, and it was you and Ginny, I think it was, who, excuse me, who were at a venue, and you had a booth, is that right?
Yeah, was that the? I'm trying to remember which story this is now.
Because you didn't have a lot of people coming at the booth, and you had a particular essence, and it,
oh yeah, the abundance.
Yeah. because you made me a bottle, and I have it at home. Yeah. So yeah.
it seems to work quite well to act what you're looking for.
So do you remember that story and how that worked?
Well, I honestly don't remember the details.
Okay. Well, I have to tell this because this was a story that really stuck with me, and I thought it was brilliant. You were with another practitioner, Ginny, who does aromatherapy, and you were at a venue and you had a table and there weren't a lot of people who were coming. And you had your abundance, the Australian flower essence of abundance. So you each took, you know, 7 drops of it. And then all of a sudden, you had all of these people coming over to your booth. And it was just absolutely brilliant how everything kind of aligned. And how that energy that you're basically practicing with the flower essences and that step away from something physically tangible. And I just thought that was a beautiful story and how that actually worked. And I actually took it with me to one of the holistic events here. And you know, anybody that I knew wanted it, I was dropping it around. So it was kind of fun. So flower essences, let's talk a little bit about that because it's a particular kind of flower essence, Australian flower essence, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're... kind of a lot of people ask me why I use Australian flower essences when I'm Canadian.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the reason I came across them, I wanted to, and this was before I started doing Reiki, so I wanted to bring in that more energetic and emotional side of things into my practice.
Mm-hmm.
And flower essences, I really like homeopathy, but it's a very complex,
yes, yeah,
you know, thing, and you got to go to school for quite a few years, and mm-hmm. I wasn't prepared to do that at that point, so I thought I'd bring in the box flower essences, which are probably the most well known ones, the ones that you can get in health food stores. Rescue Remedy is really popular and works brilliantly. So I wanted to just check out, you know, what kind of courses were coming up, and I don't know, I was kind of like. But I wasn't totally sure of it. And then I talked to a friend who's Australian, and she had learned about the bush flower essences.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked through a couple of her books, and then somebody else was like, oh, well, you can get them from this woman in Gibson, just on the Sunshine Coast. And I was like, oh. So I went on her website, and there was a woman who's coming from Australia to teach the level 1 and 2 courses like the next month. I'm like, oh, okay.
Synchronicity.
So I signed up for the course.
Oh.
I'd never used those flower essences before, but it just, I read about them and I was just like, this is what I want to do.
Right.
And I don't know, when stuff like that comes to me, I'm pretty just like, okay, I'm just going to go do it. Mm-hmm. Pretty spontaneous that way. And I took the course, and yeah, I just totally loved the flower essences. I just started using them right away.
Mm-hmm.
I got the kit the second day, and went home and I was doing like four or five days of classes, so I was all excited and my brain was just flying, and I was like, okay, I'm not going to be able to sleep tonight because that's what happens.
Right. Yeah, exactly. You get excited, you're learning new things, you have adrenaline rushing.
Yeah, totally. So I was like, well, I'm going to try this flower essence that's supposed to help like calm the mind of like rotating thoughts. It's helped to clear it. So I tried it. I took the flower essence, and then 2 minutes later, I was like, I didn't even realize at first. I was like, whoa, my mind has totally calmed down. It's not, like, spinning anymore. And I can go to sleep, and I went to sleep, and I was like, oh, wow, okay. These things work. That's good, because I'm taking this big course.
Good, good thing they work. I just did a course. So now these flower essences, they're ingestible, right?
They are, yeah. They're they're different than aromatherapy in that they're not the scent of the flower. They're the energy from the flower. It's a bit of a different concept. And yeah, everybody resonates with them differently. I find the Australian ones are really powerful. Australia, you know, it has a lot of energy there. There's a lot of energetic history, and Aboriginals always use flower essences there,
right,
in their own way. And there's a lot of sun, and flower essences are made in the sun, so that helps to just make them powerful.
Right. Yes. Yeah. So we have those active energies of the sun that that help with that.
And yeah, I just find people get really amazing results with them. It's pretty incredible. And the more that I've used them, like in the last few years, it just makes me, you know, realize how much they really do have an effect on people. And yeah, they're pretty neat. And
well, I find it interesting because you said something there, and you had just discovered this, and then all of a sudden there was a training course. So already your intuition is developed. So it's interesting to see your progression from nutrition and the body aspect to something that's energetic and body with the flower essences, and then your move into Reiki and incorporating all those. I think that's a beautiful, it's a very beautiful step and progression that I think, you know, a lot of people would appreciate, because we come from different levels and different areas that are our strengths. So you move from the nutrition, which was your strong point through your, you know, childhood development, and took that experience to create something that was you to help other people, and to move forward. First, the Bach essences, which are still part of the body because you're ingesting them, but still have that energetic nature. And then next is the Reiki. Lovely, lovely journey, Marissa.
Yeah, I didn't quite think of it as like in those steps. Because, yeah, the flower essences do sort of have that tie between the physical and the emotional and more energetic, because they are, and that's what makes them too a nice tool to use with Reiki, because it gives people, you know, this little bottle, this tincture that they take with them, and it reminds them of what their intention is,
right,
and what they're doing, and, you know, they keep taking it for a couple of weeks or a certain amount of time,
right,
and that helps to keep that Reiki energy going as well, and just keep things flowing through.
Okay, I'm going to ask you another question now. So during your Reiki session, is this something, does a particular flower come to mind, or is it part of a process that is with the client as well?
It it's a bit of both. Yeah, now, like, I used to do the flower essence at the beginning of the session, but now I do it at the end, because as you know, like, when you're doing Reiki, right, things can shift.
That's right.
And sometimes, yeah, as I'm doing the Reiki session, I'll just intuitively pick up on what flowers may be needed. So it's kind of a combination of that and then discussion with the client.
Okay.
Because I always, you know, like to know what's going on with them and what they think about it, because that kind of gives them that empowerment too, that they're involved in the process.
Right.
And I do use some cards too, like.
Oh. Hello? Did we lose you? Hello? I think. Hi, Marissa. Oh, we lost Marissa. Sorry about that, Marissa. We just lost you there. So again, we're talking to Marissa Scheisser, a certified nutritional practitioner from Squamish, BC, and we're talking about her journey and how that went from her environmental upbringing, being in what she termed a hippie household. So again, and we're talking about the west coast of Canada and BC, so they're pretty much the hippie people all over there. Sorry, BC, you're good people. And we were talking about her journey and how from that experience, from that environmental upbringing, she went into nutrition itself and became a certified nutritional practitioner. And then from there, we went back into flower instances and a natural progression and how nutrition, flower essences that are ingestible, and how that goes. And now we have Marissa back. So I was just giving a recap, Marissa. Okay.
Oops. I kept talking. I'm like, hello?
Hello, yes, yeah. That's all right. I kind of recapped everything. I was at the flower essences, which is what we were just talking about, and then into Reiki. Actually, we're getting close. So I'm wondering now, so we've had this wonderful progression into the flower essences, and maybe you could just name a couple of flower essences and what they're used for.
Right. So there's the nice thing about the Australian ones, too, is that there's a lot of them. There's almost 70 of them, so they're very specific.
Okay.
Yeah, which is, they kind of get into more specific details. Well, we can talk a little bit about the abundance one, since that's one that you have experience with. So the abundance one, it's a combination of several flower essences, and it's basically there to help kind of move blocks mm-hmm. that might be in place that are stopping a person from creating what they want. So a couple ones in there. One of them is called the Boab flower.
Right.
And it's interesting, too, because these flowers all have, like, really different names than what we're used to, and they're really, like, big. Like, some of the flowers are just massive. You know, there's a lot of sun in Australia, not so much rain. So the Boab, it's one that's all about kind of removing karmic obstacles.
Okay.
And also obstacles that may be in place, like due to beliefs, like mm-hmm. say family beliefs, you know, beliefs that aren't really yours that have just been passed on to you.
Right. So our programmed behavior patterns.
Yeah. Exactly. So it helps to make you aware of what those are, mm-hmm. and make you aware of, like, oh, well, those aren't serving me anymore. I don't really have a use for them, so allowing yourself to release them.
Release.
So it's kind of a flower essence is kind of give you that awareness and help you move through things quicker and easier.
Okay. So just like when you were talking about nutrition and putting in new things and allowing other things to be let go. It's that same process, right?
Totally. I like all these little connections that you're making that I didn't see.
Well, we'll make another connection now, because I'm wondering if you could give us, now everybody in the States now today is probably gorging on turkey and sweet potato with marshmallow and all of that stuff. I'm wondering if you could give us maybe a few tips for the coming holiday season, all the Christmas parties, or holiday parties, sorry people who reject the name of Christmas. But the holiday season, maybe you can give us a few tips.
Yeah. Well, let's see. There's lots of different things that you can do that are helpful. Mm-hmm. And usually, you know, at that time, people are pretty stressed out.
Right.
And stress, the combination of stress and also that, well, it's the holiday season, I'm going to indulge. mm-hmm. You know, just creates more cravings as well.
Okay.
And,
right.
You know, the fact that there's all of that food around all the time. There's always treats wherever you go. And it's that, like, oh, you got to eat, eat, eat.
Well, you do so, if you come to my house.
And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with some indulgence, but you want to feel good afterwards.
Right, okay.
Still, so keeping yourself hydrated is so important because that really actually, like, if you're feeling like you're having a craving and you know that you're not physically hungry because mm-hmm. you've just, you know, had lunch 30 minutes before or something,
right.
Then often the first thing is just to drink a glass of water
right.
and get hydrated. That can just get rid of that feeling that you're hungry right then and there.
Right, okay.
It might just be that simple. And trying to just start your day with a good breakfast with a little bit of protein in it
mm-hmm.
to get your blood sugar levels stable.
Okay.
That'll help with cravings too.
Okay.
And, you know, fitting in some good foods between those indulgences.
Okay.
And magnesium is a great mineral that helps to reduce stress and cravings.
Okay.
And foods that are high in magnesium are like your green veggies, your leafy greens. Almonds are really good.
Mm-hmm.
Other nuts and seeds are really helpful. So just getting that in.
Okay.
You can always do too, like if you do a greens drinks right now are really popular.
Right, yes.
So if you know you're going to be going to a party and you don't want to overindulge, is to just give yourself, have a little bit of a like pre-party green drink.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just have some of your greens shaken up with a little bit of water or apple juice.
Right, okay.
So that'll just kind of help to, you know, stabilize your blood sugar so that you're not like starving. Because I think often people make this mistake of like, well, I'm just going to not eat all day.
Mm-hmm.
So then I can like really, really indulge.
But then what? You go into starvation mode. So anything you eat then gets stored as fat.
Yeah. And it's not helping you out. And then you feel horrible afterwards. So, you know, to have just a little something in your belly to keep yourself balanced.
Balanced, right. Okay.
Yeah, and then, you know, I think a big thing too, like at parties is like all the food's laid out on a table and it's just that continual
mm-hmm.
raising.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So just actually like put your food on a plate so that you know how much you're eating and then move out of that buffet
air.
Zone. You know, get yourself out of the kitchen and into somewhere else and just. Yeah.
I remember when I was dancing and performing, we'd have, you know, the closing show parties.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I'd be, is around the food table. And
right.
It'd just be, I wouldn't move.
Yeah.
I wouldn't move. So people, move away from the table. Move away
yes,
from the table.
Step away from the table. and bring your own contribution that's like, that's a little bit healthier, but still can be really tasty.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that's sort of a, you know, people think, oh, it's healthy. Well, it's not going to taste very good. It's going to taste like cardboard and da da da. But really, like, healthy food can taste amazing.
Well, I was thinking about the almonds and then that raw chocolate sweetened
uh-huh.
with goji berry juice and making chocolate almonds with that. Now, there we have a lovely tasty treat that's healthy and good for you.
Totally. And it feels like you're indulging because you are, you know, you are in some ways. You're like making your taste buds happy and it tastes really good. And it's still, you know, it has some fats in there too, but they're good fats
mm-hmm.
for you. So it's, you know, it gives you that satisfaction as well. So you're not feeling like you're depriving yourself.
Right.
I think that's just a big thing is, there's that misconception that, well, if you're eating healthy, you're depriving yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're depriving yourself of, like, the good things and the indulgences. But it's really not at all. Like, you can indulge in really rich, yummy, luxurious food that's healthy.
Oh, exactly.
You know, it's natural and natural foods, yeah.
There's lovely things out there, okay?
So, yeah, what other kind of tips can I think of here?
So we've
it's
got...
also just, like, mindful eating, you know? Like, we really, I think, mindlessly overeat. So it's kind of just creating that awareness mm-hmm. when we're eating.
Right.
And creating that, like, slowing down to eat, which is becoming more of a, you know, like, slow food and eating locally and all of that is becoming more popular.
Right.
Which is a really good thing because we do, you know, need to just slow down and enjoy our foods and really taste it.
Mm-hmm.
I think when we really start to taste our foods more,
mm-hmm.
that we enjoy those, you know, those natural foods. Like when you eat a tomato in the summer, it's just like the best thing. Like it and you eat it and it's so yummy. And when you really, you know, realize like how good that tomato tastes when you find one in the wintertime that's out of season and
yes.
doesn't taste very good at all. It's like, oh.
It's a big difference.
Yeah, it's a big difference, and that's a big thing to enjoying food, too. Mm-hmm. It's like if you're eating it when it's fresh, you're going to enjoy it a lot more.
And then if we're mindful and we're taking our time and we're honoring the food that we eat and eating it slowly, then we're actually in a very relaxed state mm-hmm. so that we won't overeat.
Exactly.
Because it takes about 20 minutes for the brain to realize that the stomach is full. Is that about right?
Yeah. Exactly. So if you're eating your meal in 10 minutes, you know, you're not going to realize it whether or not you're full. So yeah, if you're eating it slowly and enjoying it, and that's another good point too, is just if you're in that state of, you know, relaxed, your mm-hmm. digestive system is actually working.
That's right. Yes.
Right? Yeah. Because when we're in that state of stress or running around or eating in a hurry, that state of stress is like the physical fight or flight state.
Right.
And when we're in that place, our digestive system is really slowed down mm-hmm. because the body thinks that all the energy needs to go to the heart and the lungs and the extremities because
right.
we're supposed to be fighting or flighting.
So, I want to run.
So now, we're just creating stress in our mind, but it still has that physical reaction. So,
so now when you're home,
not going to digest that food that well.
Yeah, when you're home with mom and dad, make sure you laugh.
Yes.
Make sure you laugh. So that's the thing. De-stress. So,
yeah.
So as much as that is, if we slow down and eat, at least at the table, we can appreciate the food and not be stressed out around family. Because mm-hmm. sometimes that can be a little bit stressful around this time.
Yeah. That can definitely be a part of it. And I think the biggest part is if you have that realization of, okay, this is how I want, you know, my holidays to be, and I want to sit down and enjoy the meal.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can put yourself in that place as much as possible,
right.
instead of going, okay, you know, I know that these people are going to be arguing at the dinner table, and I know that there's going to be this stress going on, and I don't get along with this person, and, you know, how can I change them and make them mm-hmm. realize that they need to enjoy it. It's like if you can create that in yourself and just really put yourself in that place, then it'll start to wear off on them.
So I'm just wondering, I'm going to ask a question. Can the flower essences be used in your cooking? Or you just sneak it in somebody's water at the table?
Yeah, it's better to put it in somebody's water. I mean, you could put it in with food. They're not as so much affected by food as
right.
homeopathy is.
Okay.
Right. But it's best to, like, use them a little bit more directly. Okay. And, you know, it's usually a good thing to, like, have permission.
All right. So we have to ask for permission.
Okay. But
who doesn't want to be happy around Christmas?
Well, yeah,
around the holidays?
It's
so do you want to be happy? Here, have a drop.
Take some flower essences and put them in the bottle of wine or the, the water glasses. Not
there
a bad thing.
Yeah, well, you just put on it, you know.
The intention is good.
Yeah, de-stressed water. Just for you.
Yeah. You can also spray them, right? Make them into a spray. There's one that's really great. It's Slender Rice Flower, and that one is for kind of group harmony.
Oh, okay.
So, I've made several sprays for people just to spray in their homes or offices sometimes.
Right.
That.
Oh, nice. Okay.
So, yeah.
You know, make sure.
There are ways.
So now, not only are we hydrated, the space that we're coming into is hydrated as well.
Yeah.
So, there we go. I think
everyone's
that,
a little bit happier.
Exactly. So let's just recap. I'll recap some of those tips for Thanksgiving and the holidays. Stay hydrated. Drink lots of water if you're hungry. You know, do that. Good breakfast. magnesium or greens that come from greens, move away from the table. You know, bring a healthy snack to any event that you're going to. Have mindful eating, stress less, and maybe perhaps an Australian flower essence might help around the table. Well, that's brilliant. So what do you have coming up next now, Marissa? Anything coming up soon?
I'm working on planning more things for the new year.
Okay.
Kind of, yeah. I do, like in Squamish, I do make sort of little Reiki workshops just to introduce people to Reiki.
Okay.
And do the Reiki healing attunement on them.
Right. Okay.
And then in the new year, I teach a certification course for the bush flower essences as well.
Right.
So
okay.
I'm doing one that's kind of retreat style on the Sunshine Coast.
Oh, nice.
In Roberts Creek near Gibson's. So that one's going to be really fun. That one's going to be probably in March.
Okay.
And then I will be teaching another one in Vancouver as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, teaching some Reiki level one classes too.
Awesome. So you got lots of plans, and things have really, really come to a wonderful point for you since first we met. It's really lovely to see and nice to stay in contact. So, so it's quite wonderful. So, I think we're almost done here now. And any final words, Marissa, that you'd like to?
I guess. Just to really enjoy, you know, enjoy your holiday season and take time for yourself and take a little bit of time to figure out, you know, what your body is telling you and to give yourself acknowledgement and start listening to it a little bit more and understanding
more.
What's going on.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we were talking to Marissa Scheisser, a certified nutritional practitioner, Reiki master, Australian flower essence practitioner and teacher from Squamish, BC. She runs Reiki sessions in BC. She has a retreat coming up in March with the Australian flower essences. Her website is healthierme.ca. That's healthierme.ca. She has a wonderful monthly newsletter with tips and stories and all kinds of stuff, so you can visit her website and register to receive the newsletter. I think it's lovely. I get it on a monthly basis, and I love to read that. Helpful tips and tools for healthy living. And that's about it. So, Marissa, I wish you a very, very happy holiday season, and thanks for joining us here on Intuitive Soul Radio and Traveler, Seekers, and Wandering Way.
Thank you, Tim. It was great to talk to you again.
You too. It's so nice. You're happy, happy, happy. So everybody's happy.
And tell people how they can get a hold of you, Tim.
Oh, and me. I am at theserenewaycom. Tim@theserenewaycom.
All right. And that wraps up for today. And later on today, we have two more interviews coming up at 7. So we will look forward to connecting with you then. Take care.